What would you say to yourself if you could go back?
Shut the fuck up. I'm
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Allison Hagendorf. America, this is the next. Hello, Times Square.
Hello, Madison Square Garden.
Welcome to X Games Aspen. I'm Allison Hagendorf.
I'm the live announcer of the VMAs.
Welcome to Rock This with Allison Hagendorf.
Y'all, this is Allison Hagendorf.
Allison Hagendorf.
My girl. Allison
Hagendorf. I am first and foremost a music fan.
He may very well be the most important person in rock and roll.
You're on the Allison Hagendorf show. We're going to go dive deep.
You're the connective tissue.
You have a musician's heart.
And she rocks.
My name is Allison Hagendorf. You're on the Mike Shinoda show.
You get nervous. Sometimes you're a nervous Nelly.
Yeah, I think I'm
excellent.
You're very good at this, Allison.
Thank you.
Yo, baby.
I want to put him on my album cover. You're like, I'm on the way.
The template for how you go
I
to a rock
it.
Show.
Damiano David, it might be the first time you hear my name.
Well, Allison, one really funny thing that I wanted to mention.
We don't do this.
Yeah.
Only, literally only with you.
You're first sharing that with me.
I know, I played you some of the songs.
Together in 1983 as a band.
She's fit, like she's a badass all around.
You did for my whole life career.
You made me feel so seen.
I'm being like really vulnerable right now.
This feels like a therapy session.
This has gotten very self-revelatory. Hello, my fellow music lovers, and welcome to the Allison Hagendorf Show. Hello, my fellow music lovers, and welcome to the Allison Hagendorf Show. This is where we celebrate the universal love of music and the rock and roll spirit that lives in each of us. I am so glad you're here. We are coming to you from DWP Studios, and I want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Cloudwater, our partners at Sweetgrass Vodka, and our friends at Karma Sauce. These are three quality products I love. They are all part of my life and help make this show possible along with you. Your support means the world to me. Thank you. Rock royalty and TV personality Kelly Osbourne is my guest today. I'm so glad Kelly is here. She and I really bonded most over motherhood. Our little boys, Sydney and Dylan, are just 4 months apart, and we've been sharing our journeys together both on and off socials. I personally love being a mother. It is hands down the best thing that has ever happened to me, period. But I am the first one to admit that being a mom, working full-time, and giving my beautiful boys all of my being is not easy. In fact, some days, a lot of days, it feels nearly impossible. I also just want to say, for those of you choosing not to have children, I get it. For those of you currently on a fertility journey, I am here for you. For those of you who have kids and are struggling, I see you. And for all of you who have kids and are in bliss, I am with you as well, most of the time. Most of the time, got to keep it real. Becoming a parent has been the most rock star thing I have ever done and my greatest gift. Yes, it was a hard stop on my former life. Yes, it has been extremely challenging on my body and still continues to be at times. And yes, I no longer have the independent freedom I once had, but it also has taught me a selflessness, a purpose, and a love that has been the most freeing and rewarding feeling I have ever experienced. Cole Hendricks is 4 and Dylan River is 20 months, and we are really in the trenches right now. And I am told the days are long and the years are short. Well, all I can tell you is that my days might be the longest because they start at like 5 a.m. with Cole, who is practically shot out of a cannon with limitless, wild energy to start the day, and then ending with him fighting us not to go to sleep. He truly is my son, okay? Dylan is not as wild, but he never lets me put him down. I literally brush my teeth holding him. And I guess on the bright side, running after them and carrying these boys will keep me fit and young and most of all, grateful. One of my favorite things about being a mother is getting to experience music for the first time through their ears. Well, once I'm able to turn off wheels on the bus, can't listen to it anymore. We do family dance parties by 7 a.m. and having the boys request music like Fleetwood Mac or Madonna and just seeing their reactions, it just warms me in a way I can't describe. It just makes me melt. It reminds me how music truly is a part of me, and now it's a part of us as a family. There is nothing better. Okay, coming up after this short break, we have Kelly Osbourne here in studio. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little
or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
My guest today is rock royalty. She is a successful television personality and presenter, singer, actress, model, fashion designer, and most importantly, incredible new mom to adorable sweet Sydney, Kelly Osbourne. Welcome to the show. First of all, thank you for bringing Sydney here today.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. He is the gift that keeps on giving, and I bring him absolutely everywhere with me.
Well, when I wrote you, I was like, oh, are you coming alone? Or is it you're like, I'm bringing Sydney. I was like, yes, thank you.
His dad's in the studio today, so
okay.
He's working with this awesome band, Swollen Teeth, and they're producing a new album for them.
So, oh, that's awesome.
And it's all undercover, and I'm not allowed to know anything or hear anything yet, but it's all very exciting.
Oh, that's really exciting. Oh, I can't wait to hear more about that.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with you and you're just radiating light and positivity because you love being a mother.
I love being a mother. I found myself the second I became a mom.
Oh.
It changed me. And you know how there's that classic cliche of, you'll have a baby, it'll change you.
Yes.
I didn't really think it was going to change that much because I really love my dogs.
totally, yes.
And I found out that love is very different.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so pure and so beautiful when you have it with a child. And it, as you know, you've got your gorgeous babies. And it's just so special, and every second that I get to be his mom, it is an honor, and I love it. I love all the bad stuff, and I'm sat here right now going, I'm somewhere in my hair or on me is baby puke.
Yeah, no, it's standard.
And I can't figure out where it is, but I keep getting a whiff of it.
Yes, that's just standard things that happen when you become a mom.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I think the sad part is I think it was from yesterday.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
For me, like, self-care has often gone out the window. And, like, sometimes I don't even look in the mirror. And I will, like, drop my kids off at school. And then I'll come back and I'll look at myself and be like, oh, my God. I have, like, ketchup on my face. I have, like, things in my hair.
Once I had a car in my hair.
I actually had a car. The wheels were entwined. And I didn't know it was there. And I saw it in the mirror.
Oh, my gosh. That's a boy mom thing right there.
It's a boy mom thing. Yeah.
I wake up to him rolling whatever toy car over my face or sticking his finger all the way up my nose.
Yeah.
And it's just the absolute best. And it is funny how much he looks like his dad.
Oh, he does.
He really does. He's a baby Sid.
Oh. Does Sid love being a father the way you love being a mother?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
And I have to be very careful because Sid doesn't like it when I talk about him.
Okay.
But because I'm like the one that is just nattering and I say everything and he's like, that was personal.
Aww.
Whereas he is very much to himself.
I get it.
So, and I got in trouble, so I have to be careful with what I say.
I understand. Like, so many times I'm like, oh, this is the cutest picture of my kids. And I go to, like, post a million things. And I'm kind of like, do I want to share this with everyone?
Yeah,
you know, it's a fine line.
Only certain things do I share. I don't share everything.
Yeah.
I believe that, you know, there's got to be something that's just for me.
Yeah.
And his dad. And there's just something about him. He his little tiny presence is so strong for something that's so small.
Yeah.
That you're just like, oh, and I'm biased, but I think there's something real special in him.
Of course. Of course there is. I love that you and Sid recently had your red carpet debut as a couple earlier this year at the Grammys. That really warmed
so
my heart.
Nervous.
I love that.
I don't like doing red carpets. Sid likes them. They make me nervous and I get like a sweaty top lip and like a, but now it's like a dewy glow. So I'm not so mad at it.
Yeah.
But I get so sweaty and so nervous and worried that they're just going to print the picture of me like where I'm accidentally holding my breath and I look like I'm holding in a fart or something where you're just like, oh.
But those pictures came out great. And it was nice to see you guys together as a couple.
It was really fun. We had a really good time, but we did not last at the Grammys very long.
Yeah.
It's
long.
It's a
long, lots of breaks.
We may not have even seen the opening act.
Okay.
We missed the baby too much. And then Aww. We went back to our favorite hotel where we get ready for stuff like this.
That's great,
and,
yeah.
Just ordered room service and sat in hotel robes.
That sounds heavenly.
And it was great with the baby, and we watched the rest of the Grammys on TV.
See, that's rock and roll.
Yeah.
See, I love that. I'm with that, actually. So tell me, though, about your baby's name, because recently you added your surname to his name.
We're in the process of doing that
okay.
now. I think that was the thing I talked about that pissed
off. Oh, and he
didn't
like it? Okay.
He didn't like it, but it is the truth. It is what happened.
Yes.
You know, as a couple, we're still learning and growing and figuring things out. And it was something that meant a lot to him, and then it meant a lot to me. And it, where we are with it now is that we're going to change the baby's last name to Osborne Wilson because we both made him. And
of course. First of all, full respect. It is difficult for women, you know, to give up our last names, you know, even when your name is Hagendorf and you probably should give it up. I still kept it. But it's tricky when I have my two boys and they are Jaffe, Brian's last name. But I get it. It's like also because you birthed him.
And it was really, really difficult to... knowing that he didn't have my name.
Yeah.
It did something to me. I didn't think it was going to, but it did. And that's why, and we went back and changed it.
Yeah.
Because it really did mean something to me.
Of course.
And he, in that way, it just shows that he's a little bit of his dad and he's a little bit of his mom.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah.
It's a perfect combination. I also love that you and Sid have known each other for years.
We've known each other almost 25 years.
Was it Ozfest 99 when you met?
That's when we first met in 1999. And I was just like, I was a kid on tour who was just interested in Slipknot as a band because they were so new.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else like them. And they were so exciting to have on the tour because they were all naughty and fun. And it was like... total summer camp debauchery.
It's
but
so great.
There was never, ever any sort of like, I would never have thought in a million years that I would have ended up having a baby with Sid Wilson.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
So not at all.
So like, so, but you were friends through the years. You kept
we
in,
stayed
yeah,
friends through the
yeah.
years. And then when he had his record shop in Melrose,
yeah.
I would see him quite often when I went to go see our mutual friend, Dominic DeLuca from, Brooklyn Projects. So I would see him quite a bit then. And then he would check in every now and then. And I thought it was a bit weird, but I just thought, oh, he's nice. And then he started checking in a bit more and a bit more and invited me to shows. And it happened really naturally.
Aww.
Nothing was forced.
It's special.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I love that you were... obviously at Ozfest early on, because those early years
were the best.
Like, tell
there's
me more
nothing
about, I mean, there's nothing
like it.
Yeah.
Me and my brother are begging my mom to bring it back.
Yes.
Begging her to bring it back. And I'm like, well, I'll do all the groundwork and like do all the meetings and sit with all the managers that want more than we have. Because that's like the big turnoff for her, is that the bands thought the tour was bigger than it was. And the managers wanted more money, mm-hmm. and it couldn't.
It wasn't sustainable.
It wasn't sustainable right. anymore. So,
which is such a shame because in the beginning years, the bands like that were on the second stage, I mean, think of Slipknot.
It was Slipknot.
Disturbed. I think Incubus was on the second stage.
I think Incubus was on early on.
Yeah.
Linkin Park, Limp Bizkit, Papa Roach.
Amazing.
Like every band that you can think of, Korn, everyone yeah. came through. Slayer,
of course.
Pantera was always really fun.
Yeah,
like really, really fun. And I always credit them for the first time I ever tried Wild Turkey.
That's amazing.
With them,
how did that go down for you?
Well, Dimebag would give me and my brother shots of Crown Royale with Sprite in it.
Okay,
and then they had another bottle there, and I was like, what's that one? Because I liked the bag that the Crown Royale came in, and I thought yeah. it was cute,
right.
the purple velvety bag. And so he would always save them and give them to me. And then I trialed Wild Turkey, and I remember swallowing that and thinking, fuck, my throat is on fire.
It's on fire.
Like,
yeah,
fire.
My larynx
how do
is
people,
singed.
How do people drink this all the time? It's like poison. But then as I got older, I developed quite a taste for it.
Yeah. You're like, I love this poison.
I love this feeling of it literally burning
yeah.
my esophagus, like, away. And
yes.
Which is really quite, like, dark for a little 5'2" female to like. But
by the way, also 5'2". I see you. Yeah. Well, we're small, but we are fierce.
Mighty,
we
as
are.
My mom says.
That's
small,
right.
but mighty.
Yes, exactly.
It was the summer camp for misfits. Like, if you were the kid that didn't really belong and just loved music and seeing live music, then you were a part of Ozfest. And
this
it was
community, too.
It was such a community, and seeing the way that people behaved in what most people would look at as being just terrible, like a mosh pit.
Yeah.
And seeing how, like, no man gets left behind. And
yes.
when someone falls, they pick them up. And, you know, they let everyone be a part of it. And
yeah.
it's there were some really incredible history-making moments on those tours. And it was really awesome to be a part of. Like, I don't sit there and I'm like, my childhood. I was like, fuck yeah, I was on Ozfest every summer.
That's incredible. And I really hope you do bring it back. And please, like, if you really are thinking about it, I would love to be involved.
Oh my God, we would love you to be involved,
like,
if we did.
Such an iconic moment.
Even if it's just for, like, 3 or 4 shows.
Yeah.
In a few major markets.
Right.
To just bring it back with the... Because there's such a resurgence of all those bands
yes,
again right
is.
Now.
Yes, it is. Now is the time.
And I really want my mom to do it, but we'll see.
You'll have to keep me posted on that because I think
now
is
the time. I feel like
if
I nudge her enough, she might give me permission to see what I could put together.
Okay. Okay.
But
I'm loving this. Let's put it out there.
I'm putting it out there
yeah.
into the atmosphere that it's going to come back because it was so fun. It was like people will never know because it was before the age of social media.
It was the best. It was
we
the
were
best.
Looking at pictures because me and my best friends were all turning 40 this year.
Yes.
And they're going to be so fucking mad at me for like announcing it. But
40 is fierce.
I don't,
it's a celebration.
I don't have a problem with it. I
yeah.
think that it's like, yes, I'm 40. Now people
incredible.
Will start being more respectful because they think that you're wiser because you've been on the planet longer. But it's, so anyway, we were going, it was her 40th and she brought out the photo albums of Ozfest. And the shit that we were doing as kids and the games,
what's something that stands out to you that you can't
what
believe?
What would
you
do for a glow stick? And these and people would do anything for a fucking glow stick. Because we had all these glow sticks that were meant to be handed out at each show to promote a movie that my dad was in with Adam Sandler.
Oh.
And none of the amphitheaters would let you have them in case people threw them. Because
yeah.
they would become weaponized or whatever they said. So we had something like 3 million glow sticks. And at every show, we'd try and figure out how to get rid of as many glow sticks. And one of the roadies came up with this game, what would you do for a glow stick, and seeing what people would do for a glow stick. This is not a backstage pass. This is not...
Right, a glow stick. What were some of the things that people were doing? I'm like a little disturbed about this.
Oh my God, I can't... There was this one... I remember this one girl, because you remember they'd have like the body painting booth?
Yes.
And yeah. People would go and get their boobs painted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was like a huge part of it.
She had my dad's name across her boobs and was doing jumping jacks naked, screaming, I love Ozzy. And I just remember sitting there thinking, wow.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Like... why would she do that? And why would they want her to do that? And because everything was so, it wasn't like a bunch of like schemy men.
Yeah.
Like I was a little kid standing there and watching what people did on their own free will.
Yeah.
Was just always just like.
Well, I think that Ozfest was also people would go to like, just let go. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just going to let go and be themselves and not be judged. So it was,
like a judgment-free.
It was a judgment-free zone. And everyone just like let go. And you were so in the moment and mm-hmm. so excited. So like shenanigans were happening because people just wanted to be crazy and just be themselves and just like not care.
And it was always well-intended shenanigans. Yes. If you know what I mean. There was nobody that was like, I mean, there was a few people that were real assholes that I felt were like really disrespectful on the tour mm-hmm. just because, I mean, and I'll always say like, I think that Iron Maiden is a great band. Mm-hmm. I think that the other members of the band are lovely, but I think Bruce Dickens crossed the line mm-hmm. and having to listen to what he would say every single day on stage. And my dad had no idea.
Right.
And it just was like, you'd hear it through the mic and you're just like, why are you saying this?
Yeah, I know that your mom and he and your mom like had a lot of issues.
And then it was the egg gate.
Uh-huh.
Where we, at the last show, all went out and egged him, which didn't go down well.
Yeah.
We had something like 3,000 eggs and everybody just pelted it at them because everyone was so sick of hearing it because... we were like one big family.
Yeah.
We would do bus swaps. We would, like, we did everything together. If there was a day off, we'd figure out where to park buses so that it would be closer to the people that we would want to hang out with. And there was the kids' bus. So if you were a kid on the tour, you'd be on the kids' bus, which was, like, not really well monitored at all. But... it was really fun. And then you get to know all the other bands, like the Sepultura kids. Mm-hmm. They were always on tour. And you just, you end up growing up and going your own way. But I will say that when I think of my childhood, I think of Ozfest because that was my childhood.
That, I mean, what a gift. But you've been on tour, I feel like, since you were a baby. Like, mm-hmm. weren't you basically on tour?
3 months after I was born. I flew to Palm Springs to meet my dad, who was in Betty Ford. Mm-hmm. And from then on, I was on tour with them. And I was happy to not be on tour. And then now I'm on tour again with Sid all the time because I don't think it's fair for him to have to be away from the baby.
Yeah.
And I grew up on the road, so I think it's nice for him to do that
so
as well.
Nice. What are some things that you learned from your parents that you hope to pass on to Sid and some things you want to do like completely differently?
Well, I wouldn't let my kids be on an unmonitored kids bus on Ozfest. That's for sure.
Fair.
I would not, but I'm really fucking glad they did because it was the best time.
Oh,
it really was. I don't think badly of my childhood. I think badly of my like fugly awkward years of like going from teenager.
That's awkward for everyone.
I was really awkward, and just kept being told that I was fat and I didn't think that I was. Mm-hmm. And it was, it's funny now, it's the number one thing that people comment about me and have done my entire career is my weight.
That's brutal. That is brutal.
But it's like, I'm skinny now, so haha. Like, what do you, like, fuck you. Joke's on you now. Like, what are you gonna say?
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You look beautiful.
Thank
I mean,
you.
Also, like, that postpartum journey is no joke. You know,
oh,
no one really talks
God.
About it enough.
They
I
don't
feel
talk
like.
About it
It is
enough.
Really challenging for
because
everyone.
It's, your it's, entire life is flipped upside down. You have all these new feelings. You have
and
all
hormones
of
and
these,
like
you have so much hair, and then you have no hair, and then you haven't slept in.
Ever.
God knows how long, and you're trying to figure it all out, and then you just have somebody looking at you like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I can fucking tell you what's wrong
yeah.
with me, everything.
Yeah, and there's crying, and there's screaming,
but
and there's like
it's
boob
so
changes.
Worth
and
it's, it.
Of course.
Oh, I need a fucking boob change now after having a baby.
I mean, no one talks about that. It is like...
It changes everything.
Changes everything. Like my feet are a different size. Like
my feet got huge,
yes.
and then they went smaller than they were before. I was a 7.5, and now I'm a 7.
That's bizarre. I know. It's just like no rhyme or reason. It's
I
like,
lost
why?
So much hair that underneath my hair extensions that are holding it down, I've got like these like wings that stick out.
It's like all the broken
like a halo.
Hair. I mean, I have that. Yeah. It's and also my boys pull on my hair, so I have broken hair from them. But like. I'm Dylan's 20 months and I finally feel like good and in shape, but like it took that long.
I was really scared after my pregnancy because I had gestational diabetes during, and they said that it was quite bad. It was hard to regulate my sugar levels and I hardly ate anything.
Ugh.
I was hungry for the whole 9 months, but anything I ate turned into fat. And it was, they said to me that the likelihood that I could get actual diabetes was quite high from my blood work results. So I was like, fuck this. I'm not,
yeah.
I'm absolutely not going to get diabetes. So I went on a really serious, like sugar-free diet, no carbs.
That's so tough.
And it's like,
when you're pregnant.
The first 10 days is fucking awful
brutal.
Because you can't have any sugar at all and you're so used to it. It's like the number one thing I'm addicted to is sugar.
Yeah.
And
you're probably going through withdrawal. Like
yeah.
Physical,
you
like
get
painful.
Headaches.
Yeah.
It was really bad. But then I was like, well, I'm already doing this diet. Sid got me like a massive pizza right after I gave birth. I ate the pizza and then I'm like, no, I'm gonna go back on the diet and just lose the baby weight because I did not want diabetes.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, that's good motivation because you of course don't want to get sick. You don't want your baby to be sick. But you had said also that you maybe went too far, like you kind of kept sticking to it.
Because it when you cut sugar and carbohydrates out of your diet and you're an active human being.
Oh yeah.
It's the weight just like
it does.
Flies off you.
It
but
does.
Like you do have to be an active human being.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and be like, why is the weight not falling off?
Yeah,
of
you
me?
Have to move.
You have to move your body in some way.
You
I'm
do.
Not necessarily saying you have to go and to the gym. You can just go for a walk.
Just functional movements.
Move,
yes.
Move your body.
Yeah.
People don't do that enough now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad. But I enjoyed it. A little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that where it, when I was looking at myself in the mirror and saying to myself, oh, you look fat in that, was when I had to stop and be like, this is the smallest I've ever been in my life. And my brain just told me that I looked fat in something. Yeah. So I need to readdress that and figure out what's going on there. And I think in order to lose weight and keep it off, you have to go through the mental health side of it as well.
Oh, for sure. Because it sounds like you started to have dysmorphia.
Massive dysmorphia. And I'm like, that is weird.
Yeah, that's scary.
It was like the first thing that I brought up, though. I was like, how am I sat here now still finding a problem?
Yeah.
Where there is no problem.
There's no problem.
There's no problem at all. Like, there's some things, like, I want to change. Like, I'm going to have a flicky neck. I can tell. I can fucking tell.
Oh, stop and it. You look gorgeous.
You're like, just a little.
You're like a baby butt smooth neck. I'm, like, looking at it right now.
Just a little. Like, everyone else is getting work done.
Look, you do you. I'm just saying, I think you look absolutely gorgeous.
I've never even had filler, and I'm scared to do it, but my mom told me that my cheeks look too gaunt and that I need filler. I was like, thanks, Mom.
How do you feel in your skin right now? I mean, you look gorgeous.
I will say it's the most confident I've ever been because I'm not trying to be anything.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be the prettiest girl in the room or the smartest girl in the room. Or the most interesting. I'm really fucking content with just being a mom and having my life with him. Anything else is just a fucking bonus.
I have to tell you that when I became a mother, there was a selflessness that came over me where, like, my priorities changed, and it's the most liberating feeling. I became, like, less hard on myself.
Yeah, I'm
definitely... So I was like,
who
cares?
I don't care. Like, literally, I would keep moving my head and smelling that baby puke, and I'm like...
Baby puke reminder. Yeah.
It's here somewhere.
Oh, my God. You are not only... you know, a newish mother, but you're so prolific. I feel like you're more prolific than you've ever been. I feel like you're always doing things. You're working, you know, like you, the Dolly, the pet gala, that was incredible.
That was so much fun. And to see the inner workings of Dolly's world and how incredible the machine behind her is and how it all depends solely on her. And she just walks in the room and she's like a being from another world. Like she is,
I mean,
is like
she
a,
like, I feel like she's the biggest rock star. I mean, you know rock stars.
Like, I don't get starstruck by people. Dolly Parton floored me because they always tell you don't meet your idols.
Right.
Because they'll always disappoint you. Not Dolly Parton.
Oh.
I say meet Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Because she's so kind and she's very
class
funny.
Act.
Yeah. And she's so cute. Tiny.
Yeah.
It was just, it was really, really fun and an honor to do that. And hopefully they'll ask me back next year. But I've been doing a lot of more TV presenting and there's some really fun stuff coming out this year.
Really?
But it's still a secret that I am the presenter, so I can't.
Okay. I love you as a presenter.
I think
you're fantastic.
I can't talk about it, but it's really fun, and it's for all age ranges. So,
oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
And I'm starting a little company with my dad, and that will be in, let's just say, it will be edible or drinkable.
Okay. It's potable.
Yes, there we
it's
go.
Potable.
That's the word.
Amazing. Okay.
So, and it is not alcohol.
Okay. All right. Noted.
Which is going to, like, I'm excited to do that with
that's
them.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And the Osbournes podcast. It's amazing.
We have so much fun as
it
a family
like
doing
it.
That.
It, yeah.
And even if we're having personal things with each other, the minute we all sit down as a family and just do the podcast, everything just goes out the window and it's fine.
That's awesome.
And it's
like a family therapy session.
It is. And it's a great way for us to all spend time together. And my dad really enjoys doing it. Unless we're talking about other celebrities and he won't talk about other people.
That's great. That's a great characteristic.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I'm a total shit talker. Like,
you guys are opposites in that realm.
Yeah. I'm like, they talk about me. Why can't I talk about them?
Right. I hear that. But that the show is so good. Does it give you kind of flashbacks to the Osbournes, like the original series?
It does, actually. We're doing this thing for the podcast called The Basement Tapes, where we're going to go back and watch.
Oh, my God.
The Osbournes, yes. With the whole family. And
it's like your reaction to seeing,
yes,
the initial.
Yes, and I'm a little scared to do it because there's so much that I don't remember.
Okay.
That's on there. And there's so much cringe that you're just like, oh, God, I said that, I did that, I wore that.
I can't imagine.
I literally walked into every fucking room belly first in the Osbournes. My posture in my body was so weird. And now my brother's, my niece, his little daughter, walks into a room belly first. And I'm like, oh, my God, that is exactly how I used to stand. And when I watch it, like, I was just so insecure in myself and, like, a little, I was just a bebé.
Well, first of all, you were so young, and the show was so massive. I mean, it was the highest MTV ratings, like, ever.
They've never had.
Never. And you were so young, and, like, look, you'd always been in the public eye, right? Okay, the Prince of Darkness is your dad, and mm-hmm. Sharon is a boss. But you were young, and now you were in everyone's homes. So this was, like, a next layer, next level.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine what that was like for you.
It was weird because everyone had an opinion on me, and I didn't understand why. I was just trying to be myself, and I was told I was too this or too that or too fat or too... It was always about my body. Ugh. Always. And it still is. It still is. And I'm not like a sexy person. I'm not one of those people that, like, uses my body to for attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never had that kind of confidence. I wish I did, but I don't. So it's always remarkable to me for somebody that I'm not trying to be in that fucking world. So why
are we talking about?
Why is this a topic of conversation?
Yeah,
I don't. Like, I literally don't want to be that. Yeah.
It's really disgusting, yeah.
It's still to this day really bad. And even in the comment section under my pictures on social media, you'll see it's really touching to see how many people come to my defense and how many women that follow me are supportive and cut the conversation completely out.
Let's talk about something else. You know what I mean? Like, why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
It's crazy to me.
It's not like I'm like a Pamela Anderson that was on Baywatch and was in a swimsuit all the time. And that's like how I became famous.
But even it's like, why are we talking? There's so many more important things to talk about than someone's physique. Like,
and it's always about my physique.
And in addition to that, at the time, you were dating Burt McCracken, who The Used was the biggest band at the time. Like, I was obsessed. Like, and there was that whole dynamic.
I have to say, like, when you're a kid and you think you've fallen in love and you have to do it in front of the world and then you get dumped in front of the world, that was earth-shatteringly life-changing for me. That was, like... In an instant, my innocence was gone.
Mm-hmm. That level of pain.
Yeah. In an instant, my innocence was gone. And I mean, he'd probably laugh, but I'll never forget what he said to me.
What did he say? I'm dying to know this from Bert. Yeah.
People don't take me seriously because I date you and all I want to do is rock. And I just remember thinking, oh, that sucks. What's so bad about me?
We need to tell Bert about that now.
No, yeah, it's funny now. Like, I mean, because it's cheesy as fuck. But
yeah, that's devastating, though, to hear.
I've seen him so many times since then, and completely, like, he went and did his thing. I went and did my thing. There's no hard feelings. No, but, you know, your first love will always be something that you think about sometimes.
I still have, like, dreams of, like, boyfriends from when I was young. It's because you're so impressionable And the pain is, it's just magnified because it's just where you are in your life.
I never felt anything as painful as when you get your heart broken for the first
time.
It's
so true. It's so, I think it really actually helps define you because yeah. it's a feeling you've never had before. And you either go one of two ways. You either say, I'm never going to feel like that ever again, which was what happened to me. Or unfortunately, some people fall into a pattern where they sort of like keep like assuming the same position and they keep dating the wrong person, you know? So, but I'm with you.
I fell into that pattern where I just kept dating the wrong kind of person. And it like, and they were all the same. They were all different, mm-hmm. but they all treated me the same. And that was because that's all I thought I was worth.
Yeah, it comes down to self-value. Mm-hmm. It really does. But like you really, I guess you needed to go through that to really find out who you were.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you almost need to like go through that to be like, wait a second. This is who I am. This is what I want. This is what I don't want.
Exactly. And I definitely know what I don't want. Still struggling with this is exactly who I am because my opinion changes like the weather. But
what parts of you are you like, yes, this is who I am, I love it, and like I'm here?
I think, you know, when it comes to my appearance, I can finally say that like I'm happy with the way that I look, and this is it. Like, it ain't gonna get any better. But I like that I can be a bit naughty and controversial and that I wind people up and not everybody likes me. And that in England, they'd say that you're like Marmite, which is a food that you either love or hate.
It's very polarizing.
Yes.
Yes.
And I like that about myself. You either like me or you don't. There's no middle ground.
For sure. That's that punk rock spirit. You know, of course, rock and roll.
Speaking of punk rock, well, today, what today considers punk is really like, it's really sad.
The bar has become a little low. Yeah.
Really low.
Well, I think, you know, part of the problem is that what was so punk, you know, in the analog world is you really had to be punk in order to like have that spirit mm-hmm. and that grit and that drive to get to a point. Whereas now, because there's so many platforms and kids are getting, you know, notoriety and fame from their bedrooms, they never had that chance to like assert that grit.
Yeah, there's a huge bit of like, is it pain and suffering that's missing?
It is actually. I mean, it's there. I think we
but
now
it's
have,
more egotistical.
It is, and I feel like there's more anxiety now than there ever was. But like a lot of the young bands and the young artists who I know that are really doing like important music have all experienced real pain.
Yeah.
So that is true. You know, it's why the early 90s were such like a renaissance and that grunge movement, like that was like real from like darkness, you know?
Yeah.
But there, I will say that there, because punk and rock is so like underground now, and it's not really mainstream, there is a real underground like punk movement, and bands are just not popular and like no one knows who they are yet. But there is really great music. It's just very underground.
And maybe
not
that's the
TikTok
fun in it
that
you have to go and search for it. But
yes, you do.
It's not like, I mean, if you want something that's what they consider punk now, you can just find that on TikTok.
Yeah, it's just, it's different. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that like, I'll never forget the day I saw Britney Spears' One More Time video. I'll never forget it. And I was like, oh, music's changed now forever.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. And I was probably the same. I'm like the same age as her. I'm like, I think I'm 2 years older. But I remember watching MTV and being like, oh, music's a whole new thing now.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not the first time that music's just become something different.
Different.
Whether it's music or music product or music, you know what I mean?
It's forever evolving.
Yeah.
It's exciting in that way. But it does feel like what made rock and roll rock and roll doesn't really exist anymore.
It's just very underground, and it's like I wish there was like a wave of it coming, and I'm hoping that there will be. That's why I think things like Ozfest and all are important, because that's kind of where the culture is. It's just, we need to give more platforms for a legitimate, real deal artists.
Yeah.
That are really doing it, that are like going and playing, just playing shows and doing the real thing, you know? Like, I really try to support those.
Being a part of the community itself.
Yes.
It's, there used to be such a connection between artists and their fans, because you had to really follow somebody when you liked them.
Yeah.
It wasn't attainable in the palm of your hand.
You had to go see them.
Yeah.
You had to physically see them in real life. You know,
and I remember going to a show. It used to be so exciting.
Yeah,
That excitement for me is not really there anymore. Unless it's something like I really want to see Madonna on this tour.
I just saw it.
I'm so jealous. Kelly? I haven't missed a tour since I was. I don't think I've ever missed one of her tours since I've been alive. So,
and this is like, it was amazing.
I really want to go.
It was amazing. You like have to go. Like she's a rock star.
I think she is.
Like she's a total rock star. First of all, she literally played guitar for Burning Up, which is like my favorite song. But like she's just so badass to like think about that she became what she was. No one else had done it before. Mm-hmm. She was a trailblazer. Like she made it happen. Like from dancing, coming from Michigan, like playing in clubs in New York City, just getting her making her own tapes, like getting them out. And just creating a whole new lane. And also, she was so badass, but like little girls loved her.
Yeah.
Guys liked dancing to her in the club. I mean, it was unbelievable.
She was cool.
So cool. Style, fashion icon.
All of it. And it changed the game.
She did change the game. And she continues to. She really is amazing. I love that you love her like I do. And
I love.
My boys love her. We dance Into the Groove. My little Cole goes, hey, Google, play Into the Groove,
I
Madonna.
Love that.
And I'm like, oh, my God. It's the best. We dance parties. Wait till you and Sydney do, like, hardcore dance parties. I like.
He is so funny. So his dad buys him all of the DJ Kid stuff. So he's got like sound machines and beat boxes and all sorts of stuff that like is far too advanced
for him, but yeah,
he'll figure out like a little beat, or he'll be playing, he'll just sit there and dance to it, and you'll catch it out the corner of your eye, and you're like, wow, I guess this really does run in the family.
It's in his blood
that he's doing this.
Yes.
It's really awesome.
That's amazing. Ugh, does he have any favorite songs or?
I know this is, anyone would think that it was like RuPaul's classic hits going on in my house, because I sing all of like the gay anthems to him.
I love it.
And so this summer it was just, put 'em, oh, I hear it and I know. And I was just like singing that to him all summer.
Oh, did he love it?
He does. Like, and whenever I sing that to him now, he gets excited. But my favorite song to play for him is Cheek to Cheek by Nina Simone.
Oh, that's beautiful. Sorry, I just hit Betty.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And he loves that because he knows that's bath time and calming down for the day.
You have an amazing voice. Like, I think also going back to that time, you had two albums out.
I did,
right?
Yeah.
I remember the albums. You and your father did Changes together. Mm-hmm. You're an incredible singer. You were awesome on The Masked Singer. You were awesome. Would you do music again?
You know, it's something that I want to do, but it's if people want you to do it, you know, because I want to make music that my fans would want to hear. And the market space is so polluted, and the word Nepo baby gets flown around so much.
I think you should do music that you want to hear. I think you should do, like, I feel like you should.
I did that with my second album, and I can always say that it's what I'm most proud of.
Right. Which is more of a dance,
yeah.
Right? It was a dance album. Mm-hmm. In fact, charted.
It really did
well on the dance charts. I remember that. Yeah.
One word. And But people didn't want to see that from me. They wanted more of the rock and roll side of it. And
okay, well, time has passed. Time has changed. And you are you. And I think you should, like, this is like, I'm just sort of like, I think that you should do this. You have a beautiful voice.
I don't know if I'm too old as
No, no such thing. No such thing. Absolutely no such thing.
Maybe.
Okay. There could be like a Slipknot Kelly collab.
Could you imagine? That'd be so cheesy.
You should cover a Slipknot song as you being the vocalist.
Me. I could do that.
Or like an Ozzy Kelly collab.
That would be fun to do that
I
again.
I think that could be amazing.
I really want my dad to re-release the song he did with Lita Ford, but with somebody like Dolly Parton. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Something like, I'm desperate to get those two together.
I love that.
Because I feel
love
like that is...
Ozzy and Dolly.
Would be
Ozzy
so
and Dolly.
Fucking cool.
Oh my God.
And
yes.
I'm friends with her manager, so I'm...
And she just put out her Rockstar album.
It'd be
They're two
so...
of the biggest rock stars to ever live.
To do
Ozzy
a song together.
And Dolly.
It would be so
Guys, Ozzy
cool.
and Dolly. Ozzy and Dolly. I'm sorry. Ozzy and Dolly.
It has to happen.
It has to happen.
We'll see. We'll see. But it okay. would be fucking awesome if it did.
Ozzy and Dolly has to happen. I am so thrilled for your dad, though. Like, first of all, his last Ordinary Man mm-hmm. was an... I was the head of Rock at Spotify at the time,
yeah.
and I was honored to support that album. I actually have a picture. I went to Andrew Watt's house, and your dad was there, and we hung out. And this was...
I remember.
This
yeah,
was
yeah,
a
yeah.
very special day for me. Look, we're, like, touching heads. It was, like, a wonderful bonding moment. Also, I had just had Cole at the time. I was very postpartum, and your dad was, like, so sweet. He was like, you look great. It just was, like, he's just such a beautiful heart.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he is so fucking charming.
Yes, he really is.
And I think that's why he gets away with everything, too. Because you're just like, oh, Dad, okay.
He really is.
You're just
charming.
Like, fine. Even when you're like, you're annoying me so fucking much. But he just looks at you and you're like, okay.
Oh, I mean, what a year ahead for him. So Rock and Roll Hall of Fame mm-hmm. nomination. Amazing.
I think that that's so cool that he's been nominated for
yes.
his solo career. And
yes, he deserves it.
And really important, but he's also up against some incredible artists. But I really hope for his sake that I don't think the world knows what that would do for him, for his health, for his mental health, for... Mm-hmm. You know, everything for that to happen now, it would just be amazing.
Well, so, I voted for him. I just want to say. For
oh,
the
thank
record.
You so much,
for the
Allison.
Record. For the record. Yeah, no, he deserves it. I mean, I would argue that his solo career has actually, I mean, it's transcended Black Sabbath. I think that mm-hmm. Ozzy Osbourne's solo career is phenomenal, and he deserves it.
He does deserve
yeah.
it.
And your mom announced these two farewell shows
yes,
in
she
Birmingham.
Did, in Birmingham.
Do we have any more info? Will you be involved in these shows?
I'll definitely be there.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to, you know, we've spoken about it, but of maybe singing Changes, mm-hmm. maybe.
What do you think Ozzy's legacy will be?
I think he's living his legacy now. Mm-hmm. There is only one of him. There will never, ever, ever be anyone like him again.
Never.
Ever.
Ever.
And there are people that have some of his charisma that I have met that I'm like, oh, you kind of remind me of my dad. And the only person that has ever done that would be Post Malone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, you kind of remind me of him.
The song they did together
yeah.
with Watt was phenomenal.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Phenomenal.
He yeah. fucking hounded me to make that happen.
Oh, yeah?
And I said to him, well, you have to deliver a song. Like, I can't just go there and say, well, Dad, do a song with Post Malone. It's not how he works. I've got to get him. But you've got to deliver a good song, and then he'll work on his verse. And within like 24 hours, he had this song, and he called me probably like 20 times a day until I finally got my dad to sit down and listen to it and convince him that it would be a good thing for him to do. And then he did it.
So you helped make this happen.
You
were Kelly the catalyst.
I will say, yeah, that it's kind of cool to know that that wouldn't have happened if I didn't.
That's amazing.
Bring that in. But it, you know, the
You're
music,
the Aussie whisperer.
But the music speaks for itself. That's yeah, got it nothing does. To do with me.
That song, I will say, is incredible.
It's a great song.
It's incredible. Wasn't there like a lot of fun memes that like young people were like, it was like featuring Ozzy, like they were like, that's great for Pose for giving like Ozzy an opportunity.
And like everyone was like, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you, you've got to be 12.
Yeah, you got to be. I mean, that was like hilarious. That was incredible. Oh my God. It's just so weird to think of these like milestone moments, you know, the farewell shows, your 40th birthday, yeah. You know, are you the reflective type? Do you think back? Like, do you
I
take
try
a moment?
Not to, because I have a lot of resentment for the way that I behaved in my life. Mm-hmm. I wish that I would have known what I know now back then.
What would you say to yourself if you could go back?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Like, you don't need your opinion on everything at all. And people can tell by looking at you that you're hurting. Like, you don't need to tell everyone. It, you know, I thought the more black eyeliner and the more like hair that was very emo and like, flat ironed across my face.
Yeah.
You know, head down, eyes up, like MySpace picture, mm-hmm. moody.
Yep.
I just, there's no point to it. I was like, I wish I would have just been my happy, cheery self.
Yeah.
But I was scared too.
Right. Of course. It is scary. It is scary. What do you hope for this, like this next year ahead, this next chapter ahead as you enter your 40s?
New beginnings, I think. I have done a lot of work on myself, mm-hmm. and that is the hardest work you'll ever do.
Yeah.
When you try and fix what you believe is broken, and it took a few years and a few bumps in the road, but I feel like I finally got there. And so now that I'm no longer an emotional dumping ground, I can focus on other things and what I want to manifest my life into being. And because I truly believe in manifestation.
Yeah.
And putting out into the universe what you want, because if you work hard enough, it does come to you. It really does.
I'm with you. And I'm manifesting Ozzy and Dolly and Ozfest.
Yes. Just saying. Yes.
Okay, let's do deep cuts.
Okay.
Name a song, album, or artist that changed your life.
Oh, I have to say Madonna.
Yeah.
It has to be, because she just was everything to me when I was little. And then growing up and actually working with her was so fucking cool. And
what was that like?
It was a real pinch me, I can't fucking believe this is happening moment for me. And she would send me flowers and chocolates on my birthday every year. And like, she's so fucking cool. Like, that's it was amazing. Awesome. And her daughter, Lola, was just, I think she's so talented and different from her mum in a completely different way, and very, very smart girl. Oh,
that's all wonderful to hear. Because I love Madonna, too.
I need to know what you do for your arms.
Oh, I love you. Thank you.
You it's have, push-ups. Like, them Madonna arms, like, where
it's
you're
the greatest
just like...
compliment. That's the greatest compliment ever. I grew up wanting to have Madonna arms, to be honest with you.
I didn't have like nothing even close, and I thought that I was getting muscles from
holding
the baby.
Your arms look great.
Thank you. It's all holding the baby.
It is holding the baby. It's no joke. It's no joke with the baby.
I didn't realize how long I can hold like a dead weight for. Do you know what I mean? Like, because yes, you're in the gym and you're lifting weights.
Yeah.
And then you like, if you had like a 30-pound weight that you were just holding on to for...
I know. Oh, believe me, I know. What is your first concert memory?
Always being told that I can't let go of whoever's hand I was holding on to when I was a kid. And it was always like... I have all these visions of like holding them, looking up and seeing all the lights and hearing my dad go to the stage, because I knew that when my dad was on stage, if we weren't in the dressing room, I had to be holding like a nanny's hand or my mom my mom's hand. It's really weird.
That's like making me tear up. And that's really beautiful. Has Sid been to concerts?
He's going to his first concert, which is Slipknot in Las Vegas at the end of the month.
That is incredible.
I want to get him a little boiler suit made so that he can look like he's in the band.
Oh, my God. Is he going to wear like the baby headphones?
So I'm testing out some headphones right now. And if anyone sees this, send me some recommendations because it's fucking loud and I've got to make sure I'm protected.
It's
because
true.
Even with we put the ones that you roll up in mm-hmm. his ear and then put the headphones on top of them because I just
need extra protection.
And he's so sweet and sensitive. I don't know if he's going to like it because so far, like, we haven't had any luck with Santa Claus, the Grinch, the Easter Bunny. Like, no luck. He looked at me like, what the fuck are you doing to me? What is this man?
Slipknot might be the medicine that he needs.
He's never seen his uncles in the masks.
Yeah. Could be scary.
He's been to band rehearsals, though.
Right.
So, but he's not seen
the show,
the family in the mask with the show and everything.
I feel like we need to document his reaction.
He's going to be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I mean, most people would. Most people who don't know.
You should have seen him the first time he saw his dad in the mask.
Oh,
it's
a scary mask.
He was so confused.
Oh, did he try to like grab it? It's a scary mask. Oh my God.
It was when we were getting ready for the Grammys and I'm like, don't touch him. He's got black paint all over his face.
Favorite movie?
Ooh, that's hard. I would probably say Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Forrest Gump.
Oh. Two classics. Amazing.
Because those that when you think about movies that you saw that changed your life and changed the way that you saw the world, it would be those two.
And both of them amazing soundtracks.
Yes.
Like music was a huge part of both of them. See, musically, can't get away from it.
No.
What is something your fans would be surprised to learn about you?
I don't know. That's a really tough question. I think they'd be surprised to... This is what everyone always says to me, is that when it comes to Sid, my partner Sid, mm-hmm. I lose my, like, I'm tough woman situation, and I just give in to everything. Mm-hmm. So I think that people would be surprised to see that, because everyone keeps telling me, I can't believe how submissive you are when you're around Sid. And I think that's when somebody makes you feel comfortable enough to not have to be.
Actually, I think that's a good indication of a good, like, a lot of strong women mm-hmm. want to be with someone they don't need to be so strong with.
Yes. And I don't have to be like that with them at all.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a very independent woman. But Brian, like, just takes care of a lot of things and logistics. And I'm like, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, please go do all the planning and do all the things.
Amazing. I can't trust him with a plan.
Yeah.
Because we'll never fucking get there. I like to be on time. If I'm going to be there, I will be there.
You were very punctual today, I will say. Props.
But Sid is not. And he marches to the beat of his own drum. And there's, like, regular time. And then there's Sid time.
Yeah.
And Sid time is just, I don't know how he does the math.
Well, that's why you guys are a good compliment for each other.
Yeah.
I love that. What is the greatest risk you've ever taken?
I think the greatest risk I ever taken is having a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For sure.
Yes.
Because you just don't know. But I really fucking lucked out because he's gorgeous.
And he's so sweet.
Kind, sweet little... He's got the best disposition.
Remember I said, I'm like, is this how he is?
Yep.
I mean, this is kind of like an intimidating room. There's lots of lights. There's people around.
Around it his whole life.
Yeah.
And some... Because all I kept thinking about is that the world must seem so loud to him when he was in my belly.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I lived with my parents while I was pregnant because Sid was on tour and I didn't want to be by myself. So I spent the full 9 months with my dad, who is the loudest person in the world. And the TV has to be on 100 decibels, and so does the radio at the same time. And he's screaming at Alexa, and the dogs are barking. And I just thought, fuck, this kid is going to come out and just be wild. And he's not. He's so calm.
He's so calm.
Is Ozzy a good grandfather?
Oh, he's the best, and he makes my baby laugh so much. They're really, really cute together.
Oh, that's beautiful. I've seen some video of it's like so, so sweet.
They do love each other.
Do you have any regrets? You mentioned it before. Is there?
Oh my God, I have so many regrets. So much time I wasted just being fucked up because I was so insecure and undiagnosed with all my ailments that it's so fun that I get to have. But it's, you know, it makes me me. Like, I'll never be, like, I'm fucking nuts. I'll never not be medicated. I have to be on medication the rest of my life.
Well, how lucky that you found something that works. Right?
But it's part of it and part of coming through the other side and realizing what works for you. And like I said, not being diagnosed with having, you know, OCD and not understanding OCD. Mm-hmm. Like, it's only now that I'm like, oh, that's OCD, that's not me. I can kind of put that to one side for a second. Because I'll get so upset about the way somebody has put something in the sterilizer or set up the baby bottles, like they have to all be facing the right way.
The details, the minutiae,
The little bits, and they have to be cleaned the way that, in the order that I clean them in as well, because otherwise I don't think that they're clean. And it's weird things like that I never understood before, and now I do understand, and I can make allowances for them. And, you know, having I have a borderline personality disorder, which is the name makes it sound so much worse than it is. But it comes from experiencing trauma in your youth, in your childhood. And so I pick up on people's mannerisms. I can tell when someone doesn't like me. You just, because you're bracing yourself for impact 24/7.
Wow.
And
it's like the ultimate defense mechanism.
Yeah.
You're protecting yourself.
The ultimate shield. And I mean, mine is so, like, there's nine traits for borderline personality disorder. And you have to have four to qualify. And I have like 3.5.
What are the ones that you have?
Like, my ability when someone has wronged me just to be like, they are dead to me. Switch. I will never speak to them again. I will, like, that switch. It takes a lot, like a hell of a lot. But once you've got me there, like, there's no coming back.
I see that, yeah.
And I can't help that. So, like, certain times where people are like, well, you know, what they did wasn't that bad. And I'm like, no, but they fucking did it. They made the conscious decision to do it. Mm-hmm. So.
You're a Scorpio, aren't you?
Yeah.
So am I.
Yeah.
So am I. Right. I get that. It's like, I'm very, very nice. I'm actually innately, like, a very kind person. But if someone has done something, like, mean-spirited.
I'm like, nope, I will never let it go.
I'm like, noted forever.
For fucking ever. life. And some.
Yes. I'm like that.
Big time. Like that. And, and it's stuff like, I don't have this side of it, but there's, in borderline, like, there are a lot of people who become who they hang out with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's like a pit in their personality. Like, I don't have that. But it's one of the traits. And I'm not really well versed enough to talk about it that much.
But that's amazing that you're managing it all. And you're functioning at such a high level. And
I wouldn't want to have been my parents having to deal with me. Mm-hmm. It was difficult.
Yeah.
And I was very emotional. Now I'm just like, okay. Like, can't get worse.
You have come so far. I mean, are you so proud of where you are now? And you've, like, dealt with all these obstacles and you've really worked on it. You've worked at it.
I would definitely say that there is a pep in my step because I am proud of where I came from. Because it doesn't get more depressing than where I was. Mm-hmm. And to see that I've come through the other side of it and that I have like my perfect little family and that, you know, you can have a shit day and come back from it. You're allowed to have a bad day.
Yeah.
Before, I didn't think I was allowed to. So now just a shit day is a shit day and you move on.
You give yourself grace.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
I never afforded myself any grace before.
Isn't it the most liberating and empowering
feeling? It is. It really is. And it, once you learn the gift of doing that, then yeah, it can really change your life.
It absolutely can. Oh my God, Kelly, just sitting here with you, it's like it's a breath of fresh air, and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so
You're
much.
You're in such a beautiful place, and it's apparent, not only online, but just in person, and seeing little Sydney. I'm so happy for you guys.
I'm going to take him to go see the Easter Bunny now, and hopefully he doesn't shit himself. And I'm also the mother that has put him in head to toe white today. So I'm like,
yeah,
soft hands, don't touch everything.
Kelly, thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. We'll be right back. I just adore Kelly. I love how real she is, how authentic she is, and I love how well she's doing as a mom and as a woman just comfortable in her own skin. She's come so far. I'm so proud of her. I'm so happy for her. I could just sit here and talk with her for hours. Ugh, I just absolutely love that conversation. And one more time, putting Ozzy and Dolly out into the universe. Thank you. Thank you so much for being part of the Allison Hagendorf Show presented by Cloudwater. I want to give a huge thank you to our other partners as well, Danny Wimmer Presents, Sweetgrass Vodka, and Karma Sauce. Thank you to our friends at Arctic Zone, and most importantly, thank you. I would love to hear from you, so please like, comment, rate, review, whatever you're feeling, and reach out to me on socials at Allie Hagendorf. I'd love to connect with you. Let me know who I should interview next and what made you smile today. Thanks again. I'll see you next time. And remember, you're a rock star.